when I knew I was preaching, I knew I was going to be going away for the counsellor, because I'm doing what Irene did last year. And I knew we were going to see our son and his new baby. So I was saying, Lord, I want to know what you want me to speak about so that I don't have to go away and worry. And I'd been thinking about it for some time. And then the day that I'd sort of set aside to prepare the sermon, I woke up with the word grieving on my mind. And I thought, that's not from me. Why did I have that word grieving? And so I sort of put together some thoughts. And then the next day I went for counselling, because part of my counselling course is to be counselled. And she was talking to me about my childhood. Actually, it's really good to be counselled. I'd not realised. It's somebody you can give their attention to you all the time. It's a wonderful feeling, actually. Somebody's concerned about you. Anyway, and she was sort of setting out my life as a secondary school child. And she sort of, after I talked a bit, she sort of painted that picture. And she said, what do you feel when you look at that girl that was you? And I said, I feel sad. And she said, yes. And she said, that sadness you repressed for so long, but you need to grieve for that. And I thought, hang on a minute, that was the word that you gave me the day before, Lord, grieving. And I thought, oh, God works, doesn't he? He sort of puts something on your mind. And anyway, I just felt that this was what I should bring today. Now, grieving is a feeling of sorrow and just deep sadness. And we can grieve for lots of different things. Normally, we think of grieving for the death of a loved one. And we've had a little bit of that, not as much as a lot of people. We've got all these things. A death of a pet. And that's often quite significant in a child's life, and often parents think, how do I handle this with my child? And it may be that you're a grown-up and a pet dies, and it's actually quite a significant thing. Loss of a job can be something that brings a deep sadness, because it can never be like it was before. It's gone. The loss of a role. Maybe your job gave you some kind of standing in society or some kind of place, and the job's gone and the role's gone. Or it might be a role in the home that's gone. Maybe you're looking after preschool children and now they're all at school and that role's gone. It can be loss of a home. Maybe traumatically through repossession, or maybe just because you've had to move somewhere else for another job. Loss of friends. And that can be just because you've moved, or because you've changed job, or because you've had some kind of a disagreement, or something's happened. The loss of being needed. That can be a real thing. We've just been to see our son and his new baby, which was lovely. And we were with the other grandparents. And that lady there, she spent such a long time of her life looking after her mother and her husband's mother. And now, in a short space of time, they both died. And that caring role is just gone. And she's bereft, because she's not needed in that role anymore. And then there's loss of health. And that can be a sadness. And loss of independence. And that's probably one of the last losses, isn't it? And how people fight for their dependence. And it's sad when those things go. And we grieve. And the Bible says that God grieves. You know, sometimes we forget that God has emotions. We know that he loves. And maybe we know that he rejoices, because he does rejoice over us. But the Bible actually says he grieves. Genesis 6, verse 6. The Lord was grieved. I missed the bit out in the middle at the moment. And it says, and his heart was filled with pain. God's heart was filled with pain. Why? Because he'd made man on the earth. And just a few chapters before, in Genesis 1, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. It was very good. It was wonderful. He'd made all that. And then a few chapters on, he looked around at the world that he'd made and man that he'd made. And his heart was sad because it had changed. Sometimes we forget how sad God was over that. And that relationship that God had made to have with man, it was lost. He'd wanted to go on forever being with Adam, chatting with him in the garden, but it was lost. And in a sense, all of mankind grieves for that paradise that has been lost. I thought we all long for that, and Irene will recognise this from what we've been doing, that sense of complete security and significance of knowing that we're known and loved by God. We long for that relationship where God can enjoy our company and we can enjoy his. To be like Adam, to be able to walk and talk with God in the garden with no barriers between us. In every human heart, God has set eternity. That's what it says in the Bible. And all of us long for that relationship, to get back to that place. That's where we want to be. Lots of people don't recognise it, but somebody said there's a God-shaped hole in everyone. God had made man, and it was perfect. And yet, when we look at the... I was going to read a bit of Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 4 to 9. Because God, in the first account of creation in Genesis 1, God makes man. And then you've got the second account where he says... I'll read it from here. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. I was just then going to skip to verses 15, I think. Oh, that verse 9, yes, that will do. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If we could skip to verse 15. Now, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And right on now to 25. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And the Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to man to see what he would name them. and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man, and the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." See, when I thought about that, I thought it wasn't only that that God had made this beautiful garden to live in with all this wonderful food, and that God was there chatting to him, but he made a companion for him that was like him to share things with. So God wasn't selfish. It wasn't as though he wanted Adam to all to himself. He said, "No, Adam, you have Eve too. I want you to enjoy relationships with one another as well as that relationship with me." It was just paradise. Everything was just so wonderful. There was work there, but there wasn't hard toil. And all their emotions that they had while they were in the garden were positive. They felt love and they felt enjoyment, but they didn't know, it says they didn't know shame. They didn't know fear. They didn't know guilt. They didn't know anger. They didn't even know sadness. It was paradise. And that is what God made man to be. And you know the story, that it was spoiled. And God grieved over that. And we need to grieve over that. That each one of us, when we're made, God thinks about us. It says in Psalm 139, doesn't it, that he made each of us. He knew us in our mother's womb. He made us. He thought about us. And it says in Jeremiah, he has plans for us that are good, not to harm us. Plans for a hope and a future. Each one of us, God has put potential in us to be what he wants us to be. And yet none of us have fulfilled all that potential. And that is a sadness, isn't it? None of us has reached that potential. And we haven't reached that potential because we live in a fallen world, because of sin. Because none of us has been brought up by perfect parents. You know, however good our parents were or are, there's still things that they have done that have harmed us. Maybe they haven't even done it intentionally, but things have happened. And our teachers, and I don't know how good your teachers were, mine weren't actually very good, but they've harmed us. Some of them put us down, made us feel small and stupid. And if it wasn't our teachers, then certainly our playmates, our schoolmates. Children can be very cruel, and they can make you feel rejected and small and just not important at all. And all those things that make us sad, what we do is, in our ignorance, we seek to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves. And we try to meet those needs in ourselves, don't we? Especially as children. Of course, what we should do is turn to God and depend on him. But we don't. We try to to protect ourselves. And that's where all our problems come from. So it's a sinful world, and it makes us sad. Of course, there, as we sang, that God actually did make a way to change that, didn't he? And it included sacrifice on his part. But I want to think a bit more about the grieving. And this is actually a lot of what I've been taught on the course. So it's more the PowerPoint now. So there are different responses to sadness. And we all feel sadness, some more than others. I haven't got these, so you'll have to put them up for me. So sometimes we might say when we feel sad, it's not that important. And we pretend it doesn't matter. We've been hurt by something and we just say it's not that important. Or we say, well, I just need to move on straight away. That's happened. I'm just going to carry on. Doesn't matter. Or we might say, look, I'll just get over it. I'll busy myself and I'll forget it. I'll get another project on and I just forget it. We might say, I'll just switch off. I'll lose myself in a good book. I'll put film on. I'll forget it. Oh, did I put that one there? I don't want to burden others. I can't remember. In other words, it was me, obviously. In other words, we suppress those feelings. We don't acknowledge them. We say they're not important. And we just try and forget them. But they're there. They don't go away because we lose ourselves maybe in a good book. And then we remember it again. Because they're still there. We haven't dealt with our emotions. And we've suppressed them. Other things we might do, these might be wrong, Irene. We might say people aren't interested in my sadness, and if I show my emotions, I'll be rejected. It's safer for me to withdraw. In other words, repress. And I think that's what I did with my sadness. I repressed it. And when you repress it, you put it right down further. So you even forget about it because you don't acknowledge it and you just withdraw. You forget and you just hold back. And actually what I did, I realised, is sort of get a sort of superior attitude to others as a way of being safe. People can't hurt me. I'm above that. I'm not going to let them. I can almost look down on other people. And it's just a way of keeping myself safe from being hurt. So that's two inappropriate responses. Another one is my sister feels it more than me. She's depressed. And actually, you're depressed as well. But you don't want to admit it. One of my colleagues is really angry, maybe about a loss of a job. You don't say, I'm angry, because you're a Christian. You're not supposed to be angry. So you say, one of your colleagues is angry. The old lady is devastated because I can't visit her anymore. You're not saying, I'm actually devastated because that was actually important to me. The children will miss their friends. Somebody might say if they move house, the children will miss their friends. And what the woman, I imagine it is a woman saying it, is really saying, actually, I'm going to miss my friends. But that might sound a bit pathetic. So they say that the children miss my friends. Or it's more work for my husband or wife. Or I'm not sure that's the right one there. But this is all projection. I think that's right. We're not owning the emotions ourselves. We're saying somebody else feels like that. We don't want to admit that we actually feel like that. So we're sort of saying it, but we're putting it on somebody else. And then we can express it in a negative way. My job's gone, so it's It's not worth getting up. My friends are lost. I won't bother to go out. Life has hurt me. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm miserable. Life isn't worth living. In other words, this is all to do with sadness. We'd be expressing it negatively. We're actually doing something which is not doing anything about it. We're expressing it, but it's negative. So although we're admitting that we're sad, we're actually being very negative about it, and it's not helping. There are some ways of expressing it which are more positive, which might be to have a memorial service if it's somebody that died, or or make a ceremony for a pet death if that's what's happened, and you're giving someone space to feel sad, or a memory swap of good times, maybe in a job and that's gone, but actually you can remember the good times, or making a scrapbook of memories. Those are ways of expressing sadness which are actually positive. But the real way, this is the biblical way to deal with sadness, is to confess your feelings to God and to others. Don't go too fast. We need to actually say, Father, I'm really sad about this. I'm hurt about this. I feel really down about this. And admit to God that that is how you feel. Don't try to pretend that you don't feel like that. Don't try to pretend that it's somebody else that feels like that. But say, God, I feel like that. That's how I feel, Lord. And to others, we are a body. And I've been very bad about this because I repressed my feelings, so I didn't even know I got them. To be able to say to others, actually, I'm not feeling good. Not to say, oh, yeah, I'm fine, when you're not fine. Because we actually are a body. And we're supposed to be able to share with each other, not only the good times, but the bad times. That is what the body is for. So talk about what's happened. Sometimes we need to talk. Because talking actually helps us to understand what's happening inside ourselves. Sometimes we need to express the thoughts to actually have them. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's as we're saying them out, we begin to understand what's happening. We explore our feelings and try to understand, why do I feel so bad about that? Why am I so hurt about that? What's it about, Lord? And sometimes it might just be very understandable. I know I came back on Friday from Exeter, having seen my son and daughter-in-law and the new baby. Great time. And Naomi is absolutely beautiful, which you I'm sure you realise that any granddaughter of mine would be beautiful, but she is really beautiful. And I came back and I came home and I felt a bit down. I thought, Lord, I just feel down. Why do I feel down? And I thought, well, it's because she's 4 hours' drive away. And you're not going to see it that often. That's why, you know, it's not anything, you know, unusual. You've had a wonderful time and now you realise you're home and she's all that far away. And okay, Lord, that's all right. That's just normal. But sometimes we don't give ourselves time to process things. So explore our feelings and try to understand the causes. I hadn't put any more, had I? Oh, yeah. Meditate on God's faithfulness. Yeah. So after we've explored our feelings and tried to understand what it is, just meditate on his goodness, his faithfulness. It's always the right response to sadness. Sometimes sadness and loss has been caused by other people, and it's not our fault at all. And then we can come to God and say we're sad, and he will just comfort us. It's nothing that we've got to get upset and think, oh, we shouldn't feel sad about that, because we are hurt. And sometimes we just need to receive his comfort. And he says in lots of places about receiving his comfort. I'm thinking Matthew 11:28, and I know it. Come unto me, isn't it, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and humble in heart. And sometimes we're sad because, you know, we've sinned as well. Even it might be just in our attitude to somebody else. And we need to confess and say, Lord, well, part of it is the sin that things that I've done wrong. And if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and make that way open for us just to be able to chat to him. Actually, that was one of the things that the counsellor said to me. I said, well, how do I process this sadness? And she said, well, you seem to be quite good at chatting to God. Just chat to God about it. Chat to him. Talk to him. And I wanted to end really with some psalms, because we have wonderful examples in the Bible of how to deal with sadness. From the man that God says, a man after my own heart, David, he went through some terrible times. And he isn't afraid to tell God what he feels. So, Ginnila, you are going to come and read Psalm 142 to us.
This is when David was in the cave hiding. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I'm in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they're too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me.
Isn't that great? Isn't it good to know that David felt like that? And he wasn't afraid to say that to God. And now Martin is going to read Psalm 43.
Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are my God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
That last bit there is really talk to yourself. Say to yourself, why are you downcast? Because you've got a God that cares for you, that loves you. And we've got one more psalm, and that's Caroline, Psalm 13.
How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me.
We've got such a lot to learn from the Psalms, haven't we? To just tell the Lord how it is, how we feel, but then meditate on his goodness. And I've put here, sometimes we need to talk things over and pray with others. We've got the pastoral team. If you don't know, it's if you talk to Pat or talk to me, and people can visit you and chat over things that are disturbing you. But Irene has said this morning, if you're in a place where you want somebody to chat over things that are troubling you, there's the opportunity. Because God's made us to be a body. We are here for each other. And when we're sad, it's part of the human condition. It's part of what's happened because of sin. But God has made a way. He's made a way through Jesus, through the cross, and through each other. He's given us each other so that we can help each other to turn to him. So when we have emotions that trouble us, the answer is not suppress or even repress or even project them onto other or express them negatively. It's to confess them to God and to others and talk about them. And I just pray that God will bless you on that. Perhaps we'll just have a little bit of a quiet time just to say, Lord, you're saying something to me. Is there ways that I've not been depending on you? I've tried to get rid of those feelings by my own ways of doing things instead of taking them to you. Perhaps we can finish by reading the first bit of this psalm. You'll recognise it. It's a Graham Kendrick song. It comes straight from the Psalms. So let's read it together. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. want to finish with the grace or something? I always. Should we just bless each other as we just look at each other? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.